Everybody good this morning? Yes. It's strange seeing you, Susie, without Jimmy here. Wow. Did somebody say, am I? Yes, I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for asking, Gene. I appreciate that. So the last couple of weeks, well, I guess actually the last 7 weeks, we've been studying Jesus and the Lord's Prayer. That's Jesus teaching us how to pray. Jesus showing us how to pray so that if we ever feel in our lives like our prayer life is weak, this is Jesus. Nobody better to teach us how to pray and how to be strong in prayer. So we've been looking at that. Let's look at that again. We're looking at it from both Luke chapter 11, but also Matthew chapter 6. This morning we're going to look at the entire Lord's Prayer from Matthew 6 verses 9 through 13. We'll see how far we've come. And we're actually looking at the last verse today, but that doesn't mean we're going to finish today. I think I had told Rick and Lowell, I told you guys one more Sunday. Yeah, it's not going to be. It wasn't going to happen. There's at least one more. Okay, good, good. We'll see what that we get the conclusion. It says, in this manner, this is Jesus talking, in this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We just read those things and it seems like, man, there's so much we've already gone through. Just, there's so much in each one of these words and phrases. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our sinners. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That's awesome words of Jesus. And again, these are words that too often in our lives as believers, we just recite through that so quickly and it means nothing to us. But I hope over the last 7 weeks that you've gotten a deeper understanding of what Jesus is teaching us. He is teaching us to pray, not just to recite. He's teaching us in all of these words and phrases how to pray, how to be strong, how to be victorious in our prayers. So we've been looking at that, and as we've gone through, as we're getting closer to the end of the Lord's Prayer, if you look back, you can kind of see a line upon line building of all the words and the phrases that Jesus has taught us so far. And today, what we're going to look at today is going to build upon, again, what we've already learned so far. So we're going to start looking at the last verse. Start looking at the last verse. So this is verse number 13. We're going to look at the first phrase from verse number 13 today. The next week, we're going to tie together with the next phrase as well. So the phrase today is, and lead us not into temptation. Do not lead us into temptation. It's important for us to realize that this verse follows immediately after the verse we looked at last week, which was about forgiveness. So this is the verse that comes right after that. Now, we know from last week that we were learning about forgiveness. We know that we're forgiven in Jesus Christ. We know that because we're forgiven, the expectation is that we're going to operate in that same heart, that same spirit of forgiveness towards others. We learned last week that if we don't operate in forgiveness for others, we in fact can hinder our own prayers. We learned that, right? We remember that? See, the good thing is, we're going to go back. At the very end, I'm going to go back and I'm going to make the highlights. We'll go through the entire Lord's Prayer again, but we'll just give the highlights, just the high points of everything we learned, and you can see how it all builds upon each other. So we learned about not having unforgiveness in any way impede us or hinder us in our prayers, but now we look at this verse today, and this verse is telling us or teaching us about that forgiveness or about that deliverance from temptation. So it's talking about deliverance, but it starts with the word and. And since it starts with the word and, that means it ties directly to the verse that's in front of it. So here's one thing. I need to consider that if I'm not operating in forgiveness, because it's tied to the verse before. Now, there's much more to it than this, but it's worthy of consideration. If I'm not operating in forgiveness of others, I'm probably opening up the door of temptation in my own life. So what is temptation? What does that mean? You know I love to describe words. Okay, temptation is kind of, it's pretty self-evident. I mean, I think we all know what temptation means. It's that strong urge or desire for something that's usually bad for us, or at least not good for us. But in this verse, it means something more. In this verse, when you look it up in the Greek, it means to be in a state of trial. It means to be in a place of adversity. It means affliction. And it means sorrow. So temptation is this. Temptation is that trial that opens up the door in our lives for trials, for adversity, for affliction, and for sorrow in our lives. This is what temptation does. So again, let's look at it from the verse before. If I'm walking in forgiveness, if I'm walking with a heart of forgiveness, I'm placing myself in a good place. If I'm walking in forgiveness, rather than having my heart focused just on self, my heart is focused outward, it's focused on others. That's a very Christ-like attitude. It's a Christ-like approach to things. But if I'm walking in unforgiveness, that's very self-centered. That is walking, and it's walking in the law. It's not walking in the grace. It's opening up the door of temptation to us in all things. Now, at the very start of this, I want to get rid of one big misconception that people have when they read this verse, when they read this phrase from this verse. Jesus is not suggesting here, and lead us not into temptation. Jesus is not suggesting here that unless we pray specifically against it, that God might be of the mind to lead us into temptation. And we got to pray, otherwise God might lead us into temptation. Have you ever prayed, God, don't lead me into being tempted to be addicted by drugs or alcohol or pornography? God, don't lead me in that today. That's my prayer. Have we ever prayed that? Have you ever prayed, God, don't lead me into Mormonism today? No, I mean, that's ridiculous. We don't pray those things. That's not what Jesus is talking about. If we think that's what the prayer is, if we think that's what we're praying, then we're operating under a severe misunderstanding of the person, the nature, and the character of God. The fact of the matter is, it's impossible for God to tempt you. We'll look at that in just a second. It's impossible for God to tempt you. So that can't be what Jesus is saying. That can't be what he means when he's teaching us to pray and lead us not into temptation. Let's look at James. We're going to be in James several times, in James chapter 1. This is James chapter 1, verse number 13. It says, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So God is not tempting us in anything. It's impossible. God loves you. God has provided all the good things that you need, all the good things that are required for your life. If you go back a couple weeks ago, one of the things we learned from Jesus teaching us how to pray, one of the things we learned is he provides all these things, and all these things are already established for us in the spiritual realm, just waiting for us to receive them. God loves you. He's not tempting us. He's provided all the good things for us. He's provided everything that we need. So, what is Jesus teaching us here when he says, and lead us not into temptation? Well, to understand that, let me reiterate something we've talked about in multiple weeks. Let me reiterate the ask of the Lord's Prayer. Because again, we keep seeing verse after verse, there's these asks. And it's not an ask like a weak Jesus, I'm hopeful that maybe you'll do something good for me. It's not a weak ask like that. It's an ask that is in the manner of taking possession of what Jesus has already established and provided for you. So we've talked about that before, and this is the same manner of ask. When he says, and lead us not into temptation, it's that same manner of ask, that same manner of taking possession of what Jesus has already provided for us. It's an ask with authority. It's truly an act of faith. What you're saying here, it is a faith action, an act of faith. So this is a good time for us to maybe refine our understanding of temptation a little bit. This is an oversimplification, but it holds true. All temptation comes down to this. All temptation comes down to, temptation is us being urged to believe what we see with our natural eyes, what we experience in this natural world. Temptation comes down to the strong urging for us to believe the lies of the enemy rather than standing and believing the Word of God and what he said to us. I'm either choosing to live the world or I'm choosing to live the Word. The temptation is for me to believe those things that I see. I need to believe the things that I cannot see, the promises that are there in the Word of God. So I'm not praying. Does that make sense? I'm getting puzzled looks from some people. Is everybody with me? Would you tell me if you weren't? No. Okay, some would. So we're not asking God. We're not saying to God, we're not praying, don't lead me into temptation. Because God's not going to lead you to believe the world instead of believing the Word. He's not going to do that. So when we're saying this, when we're praying this, we're not praying, God, don't lead me into temptation. We are possessing His strength so that we can turn away from temptation, which is the natural state of this flesh, and walk in all the supernatural powers of Jesus Christ. So this is an ask. Lead me not into temptation. This is an ask that is enforcing what He's already done for us. And that strength that we can stand against the temptations that are, again, that natural state of this flesh. So that's what He's talking about. Now, He's teaching us a principle here. And this is a principle. It's an important principle. It's the principle that's showing us the importance of being spiritually prepared through prayer. We need to spiritually be prepared in all things in life, and that comes through prayer. This is Jesus. This is the Lord's Prayer. This is what He's teaching us. We need to be spiritually prepared for our spiritual battles, spiritually prepared for those things in life, spiritually prepared so that we can stand against all the temptations that this life brings, which we are all susceptible to because we walk in this flesh. We see that Jesus teaches the same thing. He teaches the same principle later on in His life. You see it later on, right towards the end, when He's in the garden on the night He's betrayed. He teaches the same principle to the disciples again. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to read verses 40 and 41. Matthew 26, verses 40 and 41. Then He came to the disciples, and He found them sleeping. And Peter said, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Jesus had asked the disciples to stay with Him, to pray. Jesus asked the disciples to pray with Him. Now, is Jesus saying, see, we read that a lot and we think that Jesus is saying, "I need you guys to stay with me and pray." Let's be honest. Jesus is with the Father. He's communing directly with the Father. He is praying in the Holy Spirit. He doesn't really need their prayers. The reason that Jesus is inviting them, the reason that Jesus is saying, "Come pray with me," He's leading them in prayer for themselves. Because Jesus is facing, as a man, as flesh, He's facing a great spiritual battle. But He also realizes that all of these disciples are about to face the greatest spiritual battle of their lives. They're going to face their greatest trial, their greatest temptation in mere hours, because they're going to watch Jesus die on a cross. And they're going to be tempted to believe that He is not who they thought that He was. They're going to be tempted to believe that maybe He's not the promised Messiah. So they're about to face a spiritual battle. They're facing a spiritual battle, and so they have to be prepared spiritually. And that comes through prayer. This is what Jesus is teaching us. To be spiritually prepared for battles, the spiritual battles in life, you have to be spiritually prepared. You cannot win the spiritual battles in your life. If you forget everything else today, remember this. You cannot win the spiritual battles in your life in physical strength, in your own natural abilities. You will fail every single time. For the spiritual battles that you face in your life, whether it's health, whether it's finances, whether it's relationships, whether it's something going on with your children, if it's addictions, if it's emotions, if it's depression, whatever the spiritual battles are in your life, you cannot win them in physical strength. You must be spiritually prepared for those battles. So this is Jesus teaching us to pray and strengthen ourselves so that we can be spiritually prepared for the spiritual battles that we're all going to face. And we're not tempted to look at the natural world and the natural circumstances. But instead, we're going to trust and believe what the Word of God says. So that's what Jesus is teaching here. Now, the disciples were sleeping when they should have been building themselves up in spiritual strength, just like Jesus as a man was. Here's Jesus in the flesh. He's getting ready for the spiritual battle by building himself up, strengthening himself spiritually by prayer. That's what the disciples should have been doing. We fall asleep spiritually when we fail to pray as Jesus instructs us to pray. We fall asleep. That's why he said, watch and pray. They're sleeping. We fall asleep spiritually when we fail to pray as Jesus instructed us to pray. And once we're asleep spiritually, that makes us very vulnerable to enter into the temptations, to enter into believing the things of the natural world rather than the promises that we ultimately know we have and are the final, ultimate truth in Jesus Christ. I think we just lost Julian Tanner. Julian Tanner are gone. Oh, nope, they're back. Missed you guys. Apparently they're reading from the children's Bible this morning, so that's nice. You don't get to see the things that I get to see, what's going on in Indiana. So the disciples were sleeping when they should have been, strengthening themselves in prayer. I mean, it's a mistake that they made. Now, the word watch, when we look at those verses, when Jesus said watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation, the word watch is really an interesting word. Watch means, first of all, to stay awake, to not fall asleep. But listen to this. It also means to pay strict attention to. Am I paying strict attention to my prayer life? Am I paying strict attention? Hi, Tilly. Tilly's into it. Am I paying strict attention to my prayer life? It goes on to say, am I being cautious? Am I being active? That's a question. Am I being active in my prayer life? Because if I want to build myself up spiritually and be prepared for those spiritual battles, this is how we do it. So these are the questions that I have to ask myself. Am I building myself up? Am I being what I'm supposed to be? If I'm not diligent in my prayers and in my prayer life, I'm going to be asleep spiritually, which means I'm probably going to miss a lot of the blessings that God has established for me and has already set aside for me. So I need to watch. That means I need to be active and alert spiritually every single day so that I don't enter into prayer, to temptation. And again, temptation is when I focus my mind on the things of the natural world as opposed to focusing my mind on the things of the spiritual realm, on the promises that we have in Jesus Christ. So he's not leading us into temptation. He's leading us into that spiritual strength that comes from being built up, from being in prayer. This is what he's showing us. So how does temptation come? How does temptation come into our lives? If we're spiritually asleep, I'm drawn away from God by my own. If I'm spiritually asleep, I'll be drawn away from God by my own selfish desires and my own selfish ambitions. Again, we see that from the Word of God. This is going back to James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. I'm going to read this, though, from the Amplified Bible this time. But every person is tempted when he's drawn away, enticed and baited by his own evil desire, lust, passions. Then the evil desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully matured, brings forth death. This verse really shows us how sin is birthed in our lives. This is showing us that if I am spiritually asleep, I'm not going to be built up. This is why it's important for us to be in prayer as Jesus has taught us, as Jesus is encouraging us to be in prayer so that I'm prepared for those spiritual battles and I'm not overcome by those spiritual battles. It's no different than the conception and birth that we see in this natural world. I mean, think about it. This verse is telling us it's the exact same thing. It's the model. See, temptation leads us to take our minds and put our minds on the natural things, to put our minds on the natural world. And when we do that, we're drawn away from God. And when we do that, we give ourselves over to those selfish desires and those evil desires and ambitions in our life. When that happens, evil then conceives. And when evil conceives, it's going to give birth. And it eventually gives birth to sin. And sin, just like it says, sin is going to grow and mature, and it's going to bring all kinds of untold destructions in our lives if we allow that. This is why temptation is so dangerous. And this is why it's so important, why it's imperative for us to not fall asleep spiritually, for us to keep our focus and our hearts in prayer, for us to pray as Jesus has taught us to pray. We need to stay alert and active. We need to watch and pray. We need to be in prayer, and it's that prayer of asking, that asking that is that taking possession of the spiritual strength that Jesus Christ gives us so that we can stand against the temptations and be delivered against all the temptations that come against us. So when Jesus is saying, and lead us not into temptation, it's not that God's going to lead us in temptation if we're not careful. It's Jesus getting in our minds that we need to be spiritually strengthened. We need to spiritually build ourselves up and strengthen ourselves in prayer so that we stand strong when those spiritual battles come, when the temptation is going to be there for us to turn our hearts away from the Word and believe the things that we see. Now, there's another place in the Bible. There's another place, another point in Jesus' life that really revolves around temptation. So let's look at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Let's go to the book of Matthew. This is Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. This is Jesus and his temptation in the wilderness. I'm just going to read the first two verses here. We'll go down to verses 10 and 11 in a little bit. I don't want to spend the time to go through the entire thing. I think we all know what happens. I think we're all familiar with what happens and what the devil does and how Jesus stands against the enemy and his temptations. But it says in the first two verses, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights," and then it goes on to tell the story. There's only one man that God has ever led to be tempted, and it's not you. And it never will be you. Jesus Christ is the only one that our Father has led. Our Father led Jesus Christ as a man into the desert for the purpose of his being tempted, so that we could stand in his victory over temptation. That's the only man that God ever led, the Father ever led into temptation. So there's three points that I really want to make about this. Because as I read these verses and I just think about that story, there's three main points. I said I had two fingers. There's three main points. Anybody catch that? Yeah. I do that a lot. My fingers don't necessarily add what my brain is doing. Okay, three points I want to look at from those verses. Here's the first one. It says that Jesus fasted for 40 days. What Jesus did, he made the flesh yield and submit. That's what he was doing for 40 days. When you're fasting, you're making the flesh yield and submit to you. So once the carnal was under control, then Jesus, as a man in flesh, was able to see into the entire spiritual arena. And once he was able to see in the entire spiritual arena, he could see the things that were going on. He could stand. We're learning from this. This takes us back to what we learned just a few minutes ago when we were looking ahead at Jesus' teaching. When Jesus ahead, when he was teaching at the end of his ministry, what he was teaching was, again, remember, it's we have to be spiritually prepared for the spiritual battles that we face. That's what Jesus is doing here. For 40 days fasting, he is spiritually preparing himself for the spiritual battle that he knew that he was going to face. Jesus is God. He's always God. But Jesus was also all man. He's all God. He's all man. So when Jesus as the flesh made the flesh yield, what he was doing is making the flesh yield so that you and I as humans could follow up and make the flesh yield just as he did. This is what Jesus provided for us. You and I can say to ourselves, look, I'm just a man. I'm just flesh and blood. Well, you're one-third flesh, but you're one-third spirit, and you're one-third Holy Spirit. Spirit-filled, presence of Jesus Christ, Spirit of God in you. You and I have the Holy Spirit power to control the flesh in our lives. You and I have the Holy Spirit power to strengthen ourselves for the spiritual battles that we're going to face, because everybody faces, this is a fallen world. Everybody faces those spiritual battles. And here's one last thing about that. We tend to think that Jesus was weak because he's a man. I mean, we tend to think he was weaker when he went in, because it just makes sense logically. Because he's just spent 40 days fasting. So the body's going to be weaker. But the truth of the matter is that Jesus is actually stronger after 40 days of fasting, because the flesh is out of the way. The flesh is out of the way, and then he's able to give preeminence to the spirit. When I weaken the flesh's hold on me, I make myself strong in Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus is teaching us. And let us, and lead us not into temptation. This is what he's teaching. This is what he's leading us into. And here's the second point. I have to tell you, this is a message that, look, I made a whole bunch of different notes. All the guys scratched out. Last night I was up changing. I am writing things in the back. I mean, but this is such a powerful message to me. And the more that I looked into it, the more he started, I mean, the more he kept on showing me. I mean, I had this message written, I think it was Thursday, it was finished, and I just kind of cleaned it up on Friday. And then Friday night, it's all done. Well, I changed a few more things because I had sent her the notes so she could copy them. And then yesterday, I changed a few more. And then last night, it's like, I told Donna, it's like, most of what I had said, I even told her this morning, you know, I changed a few scriptures too. So it's going to be when you get there, because she always gets the scriptures ready for this morning. So you know what, we got a few of those changes there as well. But to me, that's exciting, because I think this is an important verse. And again, we can see that this is a building. It's that line upon line building on the things that Jesus is teaching us, the words and the phrases that Jesus is teaching us as he goes through the Lord's Prayer. So here's the second observation I want to make about Jesus in that temptation in the wilderness. Overcoming temptation is something that we see at the start of Jesus' ministry, and we see it at the end of his ministry. That tells me it's pretty significant. So think about this. Jesus, after Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River, and the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove. Immediately after that, immediately he goes into the desert to be tempted. Jesus' earthly ministry begins with delivering us with victory over temptation, so that you and I can have victory over temptation. His ministry begins with that. Victory over temptation. That's pretty important stuff. And then we can look at the end of his ministry. And as the end of his ministry begins, and he's there in the garden, right towards the end of his ministry, what do we see? We see Jesus teaching Peter, James, and John, and he's teaching them, and he's saying to them, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Again, it's really significant to me that Jesus' ministry begins and ends with overcoming temptation. It's something that we should realize, and that's why this is one of the things that he's teaching us. And that's why I think this is one of the things that comes later in the teaching, in his Lord's Prayer, because it's building up to this kind of understanding. One other thing I want you to see from that point. When Jesus says to the disciples, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation, I think it's really crucial that Jesus uses the word enter into temptation. Because, you know, when I hear most people talking about temptation, here's what we say. As people, we say, well, we don't want to fall so that we don't fall into temptation. Because fall is a better word for us to use. It makes it sound like temptation is an accident. Like it's something unavoidable in life that you just can't deal with. That's not true at all. Jesus said, watch and pray lest you enter. Entering becomes my choice. I make the choice by the decisions that I make. I make the choice by whether or not I'm spiritually preparing myself by being in prayer. Am I spiritually prepared for the battles? Because if I'm not spiritually prepared, guess what? I've positioned myself to enter into temptation. It's not an accident. It's not something that just happens. So here's the third point. Jesus causes Satan to flee. This is what it says. If we look at, again, we're in Matthew chapter 4. Let's go down. This is the whole temptation in the wilderness. We've seen Satan has tempted him, and Jesus has responded every time. Now, it says this in verses 10 and 11. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. What was it? How did Jesus, as a man, as flesh, how did Jesus get Satan to flee? What is it that provides the victory over temptation? What defeats temptation? What was it? Yeah, it's the word. It's the word that is given. Because remember, in every single thing that, every temptation, all the temptations that the devil brought to Jesus, every one of them, Jesus answered directly with the word of God. But here's the thing that's really astounding. He answered with the word of God that was available to any man at that moment. Because Jesus is the word of God. Anything he would have said, he could have said anything in response to those temptations, and it would have been the word. Because he's the word of God. But he chose to use the word that already existed. He chose to use the word that man already had available to him. This is showing us the importance. Jesus is saying this is the power of the word because he just used the word that was available. We have the word of God. Use the word that you know. We have the word of God available. We should use the word, and we are instructed to use the word against temptation, against the trials of life. Against adversity, against affliction, against the sorrows. Use the word against those things. And again, let's see how that builds upon just 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, we just saw that Jesus in the Lord's Prayer was teaching us. And he said, give us this day our daily bread. It's the word of God. Jesus is the word. This is the power of standing on the word of God. So, how do we get the devil to flee? Well, it starts off with the word of God. But it also says, if you look at verse number 10, I love this. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Now, I could talk about this for a long time, but let me just suffice to say this. He's telling us that our service to God is in our worshiping him. Again, this is highlighting something that we saw just a few weeks ago. It's the power of praise. It is praise that is defeating temptation. Praise overcomes temptation. So how do you get Satan to flee? How do you get temptation to flee? You stand on the word and you praise God. You know, that's why I said this morning when we got ready for praise and worship, it doesn't matter whether you had a good week or whether you're facing trials and troubles. Because if you're facing trials and troubles, at the end of the day, all that means is you've got a great blessing coming your way. There's something good coming your way if you'll believe it and you'll continue to stand, speak the word, and you'll continue to just move forward. There's only one possible conclusion. You can only win. Unless I give up. Unless I quit and throw in the towel somewhere along the way. All right, so in Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, he's teaching us a principle that we're going to see again later in the New Testament. And we see it in James. We're spending a lot of time in James. This is what it says in James chapter 4, verse number 7. But it's the same biblical principle that Jesus is teaching us. James 4, 7 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now again, this is a verse that you could preach on all Sunday morning. But I just want to focus on one word here, resist. Because the reality is, most of us don't resist the devil. Most of us, what we do is we ignore the devil in hopes that he will leave us alone. I remember my little sister, when she was really little, she was dreadfully afraid of spiders. And let's be honest, spiders, I think, are the quintessential example of evil. So it's a good example for us. So she was really afraid of spiders. And I remember she was in her bedroom one time, and there was a spider by the window, and her bed was far away. And I remember my little sister sitting there and saying to the spider, you stay on your side of the room, and I'll stay on my side of the room. Well, that's what we try to do with the devil. We try to say, you stay over there, I'll leave you alone, and you leave me alone over here. You're in a spiritual battle. You can't just say, I'll ignore the devil, and he'll leave me alone. It's a spiritual battle. If you're not fighting it, you're probably already losing ground. Well, you are losing ground. You have to resist. You have to resist. Resist the devil, and he will flee. I looked up resist in the dictionary. It says to stand and oppose. That's what we're called to do. When Jesus is teaching us here in the Lord's Prayer, and he's saying, and lead us not into temptation. This is the encouragement, because temptation is going to come. This is his saying, you need to be building yourself up in prayer. You need to learn these principles I'm teaching you in the prayer that I'm giving you. Don't just recite it. He's saying you need to learn the principles, because spiritual battles are going to come. And you need to understand the prayers that I'm teaching you how to pray, so that you can be spiritually strong and stand against those spiritual battles and stand in victory. So how is it that we resist? How do we resist him? Well, we watch and pray. We speak the word. We stand on the word and we speak the word. And we praise the name of Jesus Christ. Can you see how this all just kind of builds together? And we got two more phrases we're going to look at from this. But this is the depth of the teaching that Jesus has for us. Here's the last verse I want to look at today. This is back in James one more time. Going back to James chapter 1, I think I started with verse 13, then I went to 14 and 15. Now we're going to go back to verse 12. I'm not saying that I order the scriptures better than God did, but it's just the way it worked out for today. So James 1:12 says this. Leave this with our thoughts this morning. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he'll receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. When you and I stand against temptation, when we are spiritually prepared for the spiritual battles that we face, when we wind up being victorious over temptation because we are prepared spiritually with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit power in us, when we do those things, we get the victory over temptation. He's saying those are the crowns. That's what gives us the crowns of glory. The crowns that I have, that's what I'm going to throw at the feet of Jesus. I want to have as many spiritual victories as I can. I want to win as many spiritual battles as I can in his name, in his power, in his authority, because of him, so that I get those jewels in that crown, and I'm throwing some pretty decorative crowns at his feet when that time comes. Amen? Jesus, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you for the truth. We thank you for just helping us to understand the depth of what you teach us by your prayer. You're teaching us to pray. I go back to the very first week we were looking at this. And everything that started with this is because one of your disciples was watching you pray. And in watching you pray and in watching the relationship that you have with the Father, that disciple said, teach us. They wanted that prayer. They didn't ask you how to do supernatural things. They didn't ask you how to raise the dead. They ask you one thing, teach us to pray. Let us have that same heartfelt desire to want to know, to want to understand even more than we've talked about in these 8 weeks. Help us to understand with greater depth. As we leave here this morning, as we go through our day this week and through our week, as we go through just the hours of this week, help us think about this thing. Let us even speak again and again in our minds, the Lord's Prayer. And as we go through every word and every verse, Holy Spirit, show us individually revelation, greater truths, that we have a fuller understanding of all that you've taught us in this. We could go through the rest of our lives, Jesus, learning from you just from these verses. So we're hungry to see and understand even more, but we give you all the praise and the glory. In your name, Jesus, amen. Amen. Let's stand up.